All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I am one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is
Maddie Juice. What is going on, everybody? Episode 102, and this week we are reviewing a game. Oh my God, what do we have on the menu today, Tommy?
Yeah, well, we're back in the swing of things. You know, we're doing one game 1 week, and then like some more game talk the other week. So we're alternating, but this week, very excited to review a game called Catanaut, which is a fast-paced Metroidvania-inspired action roguelite blending fluid combat and cosmic horror, yada, yada, yada. I am reading from the blurb, but it is a good time, and we're going to be talking about it. We'll see how good of a time it is with our rating, but the keys were provided by the dev, who is Void Maul, a solo dev and a Flesh and Blood player, and got to give a shout-out to Capola, who hooked us up with Void Maul, which is very, very cool. So we'll be talking about it. We're going to give our honest opinion, but excited to be back on the mics. It was a long week. How have you been?
I've been good, you know, just daddy duty, you know, doing all that good stuff. It's been a lot of fun. She's starting to like smile more and stuff, which is cool when she sees us. And just like look at everything, like take everything in. She's really enjoying our dog Pluto as well now, which is cool. So yeah, it's cool seeing her kind of become like a person, basically, instead of just a creature that wants milk. So it's been fun. We actually went to an Amish market over in Princeton, New Jersey, with her, which was awesome. I mean, like they make homemade pretzels there, which were great. I got some pickles that were fantastic. I should have got a bigger thing of pickles. I only got a pint, should have got a quart. They were gone like the next day. We got like some desserts and stuff, sticky buns. I mean, it was just great. Mm. The Amish, they know what they're doing, you know, when it comes to that stuff. And it wasn't like overly expensive. Like it was decent prices, you know, which is cool. We even got some burgers and buns and stuff, so that was delicious. So yeah, I had a good time at the Amish market, and then we headed over to like kind of Princeton University, walked around a bit. It was just a nice day. They've got a great like Mexican place, which I don't know if like the people of Princeton think it's great, cause it's like expensive. It's called Taqueria.
There's a few of them in
are
in
there
state.
Okay, yeah. And I just love their burritos, like they're just delicious, even though it's like I ended up paying like $17 for a drink and a burrito. It was like, you know, that's a lot, but we were there. I don't go, you know, last time I was there was like a year ago, so I was like, yeah, I'm gonna get another burrito. And it was good. It was a fun time. It was a good time. I like walking around Princeton, checking out things, you know, going to the library to use their free bathroom. You know, it's a good time. Something else we're also starting to realize, which like, you know, you don't think about when you have a kid, is like, you need to know where the cleanest bathrooms are that have like a changing table. We ended up changing her like in the car, which is fine. But like, we were like, oh, we could have probably just went like maybe libraries. Is that like a, you know, they're all over the place. They're open to the public, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe that's a good spot to do it. But, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, it's been fun. Just tiring. And playing a lot of a game that I'll mention in the rec room with our buddy Pat, which has been a blast. I posted about it in my own Discord a few times, so I don't know if anyone else picked it up from me posting it, but it was on a heavy sale. So I'll talk about that in the rec room. But yeah, other than that, it's just been being a homebody. And, you know, going out a little bit here and there, but you have had quite a busy few days. What has been going on with you?
Oh man. Well, first of all, I like that you brought the little one to Princeton, kind of say, hey, listen, get used to it. You'll be going here one day. And
yeah, or you'll be Amish one day. It's going to be,
or you'll be Amish one day. You know, it's one just, of the two.
It's, you know. Yeah, it might be a little confusing for.
So I do love an Amish market too. We got one by us.
Yeah,
and the donuts are just so incredible. They're just doing something out there. But I did have a busy week. Me and Lady Fresh put an offer in on a house, and it was accepted. So new studio coming, I think. Hopefully, we got to make sure all of our I's are dotted and our T's are crossed. But it's looking like it's going to be good in a couple months. Kind of stressful, but what are you going to do? That's just how you have to handle it. But other than that, it's been like a lot of work. I was like going like nonstop, working late on Thursday, and then waking up mad early to go like an hour and a half away to do a meeting, and then driving back up north an hour and a half to do another event, and not getting home until like 8 o'clock. I hadn't even really got to celebrate getting the offer accepted with Lady Fresh until like late. So we went out to dinner. That was nice. And then over the weekend, it is ProQuest season for Flesh and Blood, a game I play. And I'm trying to maybe give it the old college try to qualify for the Pro Tour in Yokohama next year. And I went out to like Wernersville, Pennsylvania on Saturday. Shout out to the Banish Zone. It's a nice store. Their prize support's awesome. And didn't quite get there, but it was fun and learned a lot. And then the day after that, went out to a really cool spot that I had never been to in Lancaster, the city of Lancaster. I didn't see any Amish people, actually. They're known to be out in Lancaster County, but not so much the city, I guess. But
yeah,
we went to a place called the Midnight Oil, which is just a board game cafe, right? It's just like, it's like a coffee shop, and then like, you know, people, if you want to go in and play D&D or board game stuff, you just like rent out a table for like an hour or so. And you know, it's really neat.
You just keep, yeah. How do you keep finding these like fusion places? You got like the bar that's like got TCG stuff going on. You got this, like, do you have a map of these places? Like,
no,
that you,
I'll be
like,
honest,
I gotta hit it up. Like, you have a way of finding these cool, like, fusion places.
It's just like, it just so happens, like Flesh and Blood's happening at a lot of places. And there's just like, I didn't even know what the vibe was at this place. I had just heard that there was going to be a tournament there. Originally, I was going to play in Mattawan, New Jersey, which is like closer to home, but I had to be in Hershey anyway that night. So I was like, oh, let me check out this place. And a bud, shout out Deathnor slash Derek, was the tournament organizer there. So I was like, oh, cool. So like, I'll know some people. And It was like a really, really cool spot. I mean, it's a little tight to have that big of a tournament, but like, it was really cool. And the people out in central Pennsylvania, it's like one of the best Flesh and Blood like communities. Mm-hmm. Like I've gone out there. I mean, it's like a little far for me, but like I go out there pretty often to play, and everybody out there is awesome. And they have a whole Discord channel just for Flesh and Blood happening in central Pennsylvania. That, you know, pretty just like, good people.
Yeah.
And
pretty good people.
It's a good central, I mean, it's all Pennsylvania a little bit. No. Yeah. But you know, I do got to shout out Sexy Dexy, who is a great cosplayer in Flesh and Blood, but also just an amazing player. And I always forget that I was Dex's first ever game of Flesh and Blood in person. Just like randomly out in central Pennsylvania a couple years ago. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, and then I had him on the podcast. And he's like, you remember that you were my first game? I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. So cool people out there. And then I was out in work and finally got home last night and got to relax a little bit. And today I am, you know, getting some work done, doing some podcasts, resetting. And getting ready for more Flesh and Blood this weekend, but also playing more games. And Catanaut is a game that we play, but we're going to talk about some releases this week, and then we'll get into the review. First, biggest news ever, we have a Discord, Fresh Juice Discord. It's in the show notes below. Check it out. It's a good place to hang out. Recommend games. If you know somebody who made a game, like our loyal listener Capullo did, you can recommend it to us to review. So it is, it's a great resource for indie game lovers. And yeah, it's pretty sweet. But what are some notable releases this week?
Yeah, so unfortunately, the Steam store is down right now. So we were looking. I was going to try to show some of these for the viewers that are watching on YouTube or Spotify. But we'll just talk about them. So Sworn, a game that we reviewed, I don't know, months ago at this point, which we had a great time with, kind of like a Hades-like in a way, has hit 1.0, which is exciting. I haven't been able to dive in, check out what they've updated for 1.0, but have you had a chance to hop in yet?
No, I mean, it's been a busy week, so I haven't since it hit 1.0, but I'm in the Discord, so I see all these like awesome updates that they have, and it's exciting because I believe we gave that a certified fresh juice in early access. So, you know, it's pretty cool to see it hit 1.0 so quickly because, you know, as we've mentioned, that they are really just like actually committed to this game, which is great to see. You know, they have a post-launch roadmap here. You know, they want to add a lab, some Sword in the Stone updates, new dialogue and voice acting, a whole new Arthur phase. They're going to add voice chat powered by Discord, alternate boss variety, ongoing quality of life, a boss roast mode, hopefully in Q1 2026, et cetera.
Go ahead. Continue.
Oh, yeah. They're just like really just committed to this game. We had a great time with it. I'm actually really excited to hop back in at 1.0, you know, and you know, give this game the love that it deserves because it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun playing it. We played it with our buddy Bags. So it might be a high time we hop back in all together soon.
Yeah, see if we can get further than I think like the swamp area. I couldn't get past, you know, with the rats and stuff. But yeah, I'll have to see. But yeah, that's interesting. I've never heard of a game, I guess, introducing voice chat like powered by Discord. I wonder if that's like built into the game sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Yeah.
And using like Discord's technology. That seems pretty cool. Yeah, very interesting. But definitely we'll have to hop back in. And then just another game that I saw was getting a good amount of hype is Aethermancer. So this is a kind of a new creature collector sort of game. I've seen it compared to like Cassette Beasts as well. And obviously, you know, Pokemon. And hopefully they don't end up getting sued because all these Nintendo patents that are happening. But it's like a turn-based creature collector kind of game. Aethermancer, it's had really good reviews. It's on sale on Steam right now. Don't know if it will be by the time the episode comes out, but it is 10% off at the moment. And I've just been, I keep seeing just great things about this game. Haven't had a chance to play. I believe it also is available on mobile. I could be wrong about that, but
Aethermancer?
I don't know if it is, or maybe it's planned.
Cassette Beast was.
It's going to be coming to mobile, but. Yeah, it's just been a game that I keep seeing mentioned. So I don't know if any of the juice heads have played it. Have you seen anything for this game?
No, I did watch another creature collector game that was like more necromancer based, but more like golly, I wish I could go on the Steam store page right now because I would have been able to look at it. But it was more like Game Boy. Like OG Game Boy graphics.
Okay.
You talk for a second. I can find the name of it real quick, actually.
Yeah, no problem. Actually, I did find the Steam store loaded for me here. So here's Aethermancer. Sweet. It is early access. There is a demo available, and it's 10% off right now. Actually, just for the next 14 minutes. So ignore that. It's not going to be 10% off. But yeah, it's a roguelite as well. So monster taming meets roguelite. Become the Aethermancer and fight alongside mythical creatures. Explore the ever-changing fractured ruins. And, you know, it's turn-based, obviously. Grow your monsters stronger, all that sort of stuff. So it's interesting. It's got like the roguelite kind of tag on it that's a little bit different. It is single player, but it looks pretty interesting to me. You know, these, I feel like a lot of these creature collector games I usually look over because I'm like, you know, I'm just not, you know, I'm a Pokemon guy, even though I'm not a big Pokemon guy lately. It's just like, why would I play something other than Pokemon if I want to play a creature collector? But they just keep coming out lately with like bangers, it seems like. So this one might be one I have to check out. But you were mentioning a different one that looks a little bit more Game Boy-esque.
Yeah, it's called Necromancer for a Week. It looked pretty cool. I was watching.
What's it called? I think like next week.
Very funny. Very, very funny. Necromancer for a Week. It's like a $8 game. It looked really cool. I watched Retromation play it on YouTube. And really, really neat looking game. It's kind of also roguelite-y to a certain extent, but has more of that old school graphics where, like, even because it's from the actual perspective, right? Like, Aethermancer was kind of 2D side by, or not all of it's 2D, but like the perspective of the battles are more like your classic Final Fantasy, right?
Yeah.
Where Necromancer for a Week has that Pokemon, classic Pokemon perspective where you're like looking at the back of your creature, your Pokemon. So it seemed cool, right? I mean, I love the aesthetic of this. This is really neat. And I don't know how deep it will actually go, but it's something that I'm going to put on my my wish list because it just looked neat, right? It's a,
yeah,
it's a fun little, and I just love necromancy based like aesthetics and flavor. So yeah, if you look, I mean, if you're watching on YouTube or whatever, well, things aren't really loading that fast because I think the Steam store
it's
still
the store. Yeah,
but it's cool. Yeah, it's this one feels a little bit closer, maybe too close to the sun with Pokemon in terms of like choose your starter, blah blah blah. But it's cool nonetheless. So something that I have on my radar of, you know, potentially if it goes on sale or something like that.
Yeah, no, it definitely looks awesome. Love the art style. You know, yeah, it brings me back to those like Game Boy days. And honestly, this would be something I could see me playing on mobile. You know, obviously I haven't played this on Steam yet, but if it did come to mobile, you know, it also seems like it kind of has, I don't know if it is. Oh, it is a roguelike, right? Yeah, so this is kind of like the pathing that you would take, I guess, in these screenshots here and the different encounters you can go across. So that seems like a really cool idea to me, for sure. So yeah, I might have to check it out. It's also using two monster teams, I guess, the entire time, it says, which is kind of interesting. You probably have to figure out like synergies between the two, you know, versus kind of just having, trying to get like the, you know, super effective sort of things, types against the enemies. You also have to worry about the synergies between the two. That you have. So yeah, seems cool.
Cool stuff. Yeah, cool stuff. Now I think we just got out of the Steam Autumn sale.
Yes.
But did you pick up anything? Was there anything you were looking at that, you know, you finally decide, hey, it's on sale, I'm gonna grab it?
Yeah, so I not that I went crazy, but I definitely bought more during this sale than I kind of expected to, and the main reason is because I added in, I know I mentioned gg.deals last week, I like have it as an app on my phone, so I'm like, it's on my home screen, so like every day during the sale I was just kind of like, I just browse, I'd be like, let me look at like survival games, look at like historical lows and see if I can find something that's like dirt cheap, you know, that I just want to kind of pick up and I'll play it at some point. So I already had Icarus purchased, but that game was at a historical low, so I had a few friends purchase it, which is great. But I also picked up a game called Surrounded, which has had a good amount of hype recently. It's kind of like a voxel. Let me see if I can look it up. But it's like a single-player survival game, but they're supposed to be adding multiplayer. So, some of my buddies were talking about it. So
I really love survival games, man.
I love survival games. So this one, I don't know, it was like I think it was on sale for $6, $5 or $6 instead of 12. So I just was like, I'll add it. So if they add multiplayer later, I can check it out. But honestly, one of the cooler games that I have played And I've only played a little bit of it so far, but it's a game called Levelhead that I picked up on the autumn sale. And I'll look it up right here. It's normally $20. It was a historical low. I think I maybe got it for $2.
Oh, wow.
And essentially, it is Mario Maker, but like on the PC.
Oh,
And it has like
nice.
overwhelmingly positive reviews, like for all reviews. And it's been really cool so far. You play as this little kind of robot guy. He's almost got like sort of like Yoshi abilities, at least right now, where he's got like this like magnet thing that shoots out and you can grab stuff kind of like Yoshi's tongue. You know, you're collecting coins. You know, the video's not loading here. But it seemed really cool. I haven't actually played anyone else's like courses yet, but I don't know. I never heard of this game. It was a historical low. It works great on the Steam Deck. You know, it's fully verified on there, so I've been playing a little bit on there. But yeah, it seemed cool, Levelhead. So, you know, if it goes on another Steam sale, I would recommend it to anyone out there that like enjoys Mario Maker kind of games, and it really just a game to like kill time, I'd say overall. Trying to remember if there was anything else I purchased. I think there were a few other things. I'm trying to see if I can like somehow look at like my purchases on Steam and see what else. I feel like I picked up a few more things. I just can't remember what they were. But did you end up picking up anything on Steam?
No, but I kind of wish I got Levelhead, or I did. I grabbed one thing. I wish I got Levelhead because I was a big Mario Maker fan. I even streamed Mario Maker,
Oh, yeah.
back in the day, and I would play like, you know, viewers levels, and like I was like not really a good Mario Maker player, but it was fun to like try to beat those, which is always cool. But I did finally pulled the trigger on King is Watching, which was on sale. I haven't played it yet. I just kind of added it. I saw it was on sale last week, so I was like, okay, let me buy this real quick, and then, you know, I'll be playing it soon. But yeah, I there were a couple things on my wish list that were on sale, but really just not stuff I was ready to like put the time in, right? The Thing Remastered was on sale, I saw, and then also what the hell? Oh, Dwarf Fortress was on sale. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to be committing my time to that yet, but I did grab King is Watching, which I'm excited to dive into. But hey, it's always cool when these sales come around. But
There
we
also were two other games I just remembered. I picked
Oh.
up Mega Bonk, which I talked about
Oh,
last week,
yeah.
and I also picked up Clover Pit as well.
Oh, nice.
I have
Nice.
not played it yet, but I was like, it was on sale. Oh, actually, did I pick up Clover Pit? I think I lied about that one.
I actually added that one to my cart. I think it's still on an introductory sale, so I mean it's still like a relatively inexpensive game. So, yeah, it's cool. Some cool games coming out, but let's talk about Catanaut.
Let's do it.
So, as I said before, fast-paced Metroidvania-based roguelike, fluid combat, cosmic horror slash dodge wield. Powerful abilities as you battle through a space station, sprawling with twisted once human horrors, adapt, survive, and descend into the shadows to uncover dark secrets. Now, do you want to talk about gameplay first? I feel like I always start it off.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, this is you're kind of, you know, obviously Metroidvania, you know, roguelite, right? So you're going to be starting out with, you know, just kind of two basic abilities. You have like a melee attack, and you also have a kind of longer range, like a gun, that you start out with, and you've got like, you know, a health pot, that you can use to heal. And you know, it just kind of starts out by you going through these, you know, we'll talk about the art style, but these very like, you know, cyber kind of ninja-y levels that you're going through, and then you start to unlock more and more, you know, vendors or like people that kind of unlock more things for you, where you can unlock a perk system. You know, you can get kind of a different pool of items that you can have for your abilities that you kind of come across. You can also switch up your main weapon as well. You know, you can get different upgrades. So, you know, I've unlocked a few different you know, a few different of those people that are kind of at your main base when you're done with a run. And you can choose to also go back there after the end of each level as well. So you can kind of either continue your run, or you can choose to like go back to your, you know, your main hub if you want to purchase something. There's also shops you can come across. So it's kind of got your normal like tropes of like a Metroidvania and roguelike put together. There's portals as well, so you can easily kind of hop between different areas that you've discovered. I will say, like, from what I had played, you know, I haven't like beaten the game, but the Metroidvania aspect, you know, it's not, I was never like kind of in like decision hell with this game, where like there were just so many different paths I could take. Like I kind of felt like it was easy for me to manage. Okay, I've already been to this area, let me go explore this other area. It didn't feel like a game like maybe like Hollow Knight, right, where like I'm like getting lost in these different areas, and I'm like, okay, it's essentially feels like a maze, I gotta work my way back. You know, there's plenty of kind of like, it felt like plenty of like lifelines with these portals that you can easily just, you know, find a good amount of them and teleport between different areas. But I never felt like I had, you know, too many options of where to go, which I think is a good thing and kind of, you know, something that maybe I want the game to have a bit more of. But again, I did not like complete the whole game. But I would just say that I was expecting there to be maybe a little bit more depth with like the exploration part of it, but it also just made it easier for me to like make sure I was clearing out these specific areas. So it's kind of like interesting. Yeah, you know, it's obviously Metroidvania inspired, but I don't think it goes the full way of being like a full Metroidvania, where like I felt like I was kind of getting lost in the map. The abilities that you can get, you know, obviously I mentioned that like you have your melee weapon, and then you have a longer range weapon. And you get two abilities that you can use, or skills that you can use as well. I will say the pool of skills in the beginning, at least, is very, very small. Like you are always getting like the same options, basically, anytime you come across like a little skill decision, where you are either upgrading a skill that you currently have, or you're choosing from like a pool of maybe like five skills. It felt like you do unlock more as like the time, as time goes on, you start to unlock more items. So it starts to become a little bit more interesting. You get a little bit more variety. But I found myself like, I would just choose, you know, I tried out like every skill in the beginning, and then I figured out, okay, like I'm going to just use like these two skills because I just found them to be the most effective for me. One of them is like where you turn into like a, or you kind of have a big tentacle guy that kind of comes around you and helps deal damage around you, like AoE damage. And then the other one is like the one where you're blinding enemies. So I kind of like would combine those two. I'd like blind a bunch of enemies, and I'd run in and like kill a bunch of them. So I kind of felt like in the beginning, I had like a little bit more variety with the skills, maybe like introduce more of them that are already unlocked, versus me having to unlock like, I don't know, I felt like the pool was just a little bit small for that, because I get excited when I was able to choose a new skill and I just be like, oh, these are like the same three that I just saw. So, you know, just kind of something that I would like to see improved with the early game here. But I did really enjoy like the combat overall. You know, I think the skills made the combat, you know, all of it felt like decently trivial. I mean, you don't have a lot of health, so you obviously have to worry about like how often you're getting hit. But I never felt like I had to, you know, really have like a strong strategy going into fighting some of these things. The bosses, though, I will say, gave me like a little bit of trouble. But as far as like the enemies kind of in between, didn't really have a lot of trouble. You know, the combat's pretty straightforward. I would use my melee most of the time. You have a dodge as well. You can even unlock more invincibility frames with the dodge. So it kind of becomes like, almost like I'm going to spam my dodge and just melee a bunch. And it seemed to work out pretty well for me. And then you have your abilities as well. So overall, like the gameplay, I thought was like, it's like well made. It's almost just like I'm looking for maybe a little bit more depth earlier on for me to like really get hooked with it, because I just kind of felt like I kept being, you know, presented with the same options too often, maybe in the early game. And then obviously I said there wasn't like a lot of decisions that I needed to make in terms of where to go. So I kind of would like maybe a little bit more expansion there in the early game. But I didn't hate the gameplay. I think it felt really good. It felt like crisp. It gave me Dead Cells vibes as well, with like the combat and just even like, you know, we'll talk about the look, but like just the feel of the game. I feel like this game was definitely inspired by Dead Cells. It just kind of, it's missing like in Dead Cells, you're collecting, was it cells? Like, you know, a bunch of the mm-hmm. souls or whatever. This game is kind of missing like that, like dopamine hit where like when you're collecting things in this game, they're kind of like just these little like crystals that you're collecting. I would like a little bit more of a Dead Cells-y kind of dopamine hit of me like collecting a bunch of, I don't know, glowing things or something like that. But yeah, so, you know, didn't hate the gameplay. I think that it's a really strong foundation. But it also didn't make me feel like I was playing anything, I don't know, truly like different from things that I've played before. Like I just kept kind of thinking of Dead Cells. I think there's other aspects of this game that stand out a little bit more than like the core gameplay, but I'm curious to know, you know, what did you think of it?
Yeah, you kind of took a lot of the words right out of my mouth with the comparison to Dead Cells, which is like kind of the core recipe, right, for Dead Cells. But, you know, this is just a different flavor outlook, but, you know, it definitely has its own twist as well, right? You know, you are, I the one thing I would say this stands out against Dead Cells is, this is way more fast-paced. Mm-hmm. This is, you are really just slashing, running. It's not like, it doesn't feel like you can take a second, you know, while you're playing, right? You're just going through and you're I don't know. It didn't feel like there were any moments of non-craziness, right? You know, because these enemies are, the way they're animated, we'll talk about that. It's like they're kind of like exploding in these like, I guess, digital dust and stuff like that. You're running around and adds to the chaos. And I think like if you're into a little bit more of a chaotic feel, I think this is going to be a really good gameplay experience for you, especially if you already like things like Dead Cells, because you know, you're going around, you're unlocking new stuff and you're using new weapons and these cool little, like, I like this one kind of mechanic where you can have a certain skill, but like you get like a rarer version of it that is doing it, but better than maybe another time that you already had that skill, which is neat. A couple of the melee mechanics right out the gate, I didn't really love. I think like one of the first ways that you use, or one of the first katanas that you have, when you swing it, you move forward, right? Which I think is like a cool thing to have. It was a little weird for me, like right out the gates, to like just start like jumping forward with my attack rather than like being able to control a little bit more. And then there's times, you know, the chaos, it can be a lot, right? You're running into a lot of enemies and you're like, I can't really tell if I'm killing these correctly, or like, because it'll ping you saying, oh, you parried this. I'm like, I don't know how I parried that. Like, what is going on? But like, it's still like an action-packed experience. So there's part of it that, you know, while we're drawing comparisons to Dead Cells, which is like probably like the core recipe here, but there's also moments of like Vampire Survivors, right? Where I'm just like, I'm attacking a lot and there's a lot of stuff going on. The screen's going crazy. These mm-hmm. like digital dust particles are pretty wacky. And then, you know, it's a wild time, and the boss fights are cool. I really enjoy them. So I really like the core of this game, and I could see the appeal here. I mean, there's a lot to talk about in terms of its overall aesthetic and what really makes it stand apart, in my opinion. But I think that this is an impressive game for a solo dev, that's for sure.
Oh yeah.
And like to see this, I personally would like a little bit more of a cleaned up experience rather than so much chaos, but it's definitely fun no matter what, right? Because you just gotta get used to like the insanity of this game, because it can feel like a lot of things are going on at once. So that's my take on the gameplay. But moving on to the story, the story's kind of cool though. I really like this kind of base of a story where you are on this space station and these cosmic horror elements are happening. And as you get deeper into the game, some of these enemies are becoming more and more, you know, horrifying, I guess, is probably the word I would use. And, you know, you're going through and you're kind of trying to figure out why it's happening, getting to the root of it, because, you know, you're this katana astronaut, catanaut. So you are kind of like, I don't know exactly why you are this ninja thing, but it is cool, right? Like it's a cool concept, and you know, it's kind of your job to go around and fight everything and figure out why, you know, get to the bottom of this run and figure out why it is the way it is and what is causing all of these creatures to kind of emerge from other people. Right.
Yeah.
So it's a cool concept. I mean, you know, it makes a lot of sense for a roguelite experience. So I enjoy the, like, it's not a lot of story, but I enjoy what we see with this game and you know, they kind of nail the like overall vibe, right? In terms of like, this is creepy, weird, sci-fi, like sci-fi horror action, which, you know, kind of we've seen popularized in other kind of games, but I don't think really in this genre so much. So I did appreciate that.
Yeah, I think, you know, from the story aspect, like it gave me like Dead Space-y kind of vibes, because, you know, that's kind of like you're trying to figure out what's going on. All of these creatures keep like popping out of like people, and it's just you're like, yeah, what the hell's going on? Obviously, Dead Space is more in kind of the horror side of things and you know, horror sci-fi, but it's not so that's not the same. But yeah, you're just, you know, kind of trying to unravel these mysteries. I thought that some of the dialogue was good. Like, there's some humor in it as well, which is always like nice to see. Yeah, you know, the characters that you meet are somewhat interesting. Like you mentioned, like, I didn't find there's a lot of story in this or like anything that I was like super heavily invested in. It's just kind of one of those games where I just, you know, I just want to uncover everything. And you know, I just kept getting Dead Space vibes when I was like reading the story and trying to, you know, figure out what was going on. So yeah, I don't have a lot of notes when it comes to the story for this. I think that it's cool that there is one in the game, but I, you know, at the end of the day, when I'm playing games like this, I'm not super heavily invested in the story. I just want to go unlock things. I want to go beat enemies. You know, I want to get cool abilities, that sort of stuff. And I just want to progress, essentially. So yeah, I don't feel like this game even kind of locks you behind a story. There's nothing that that I came across where I was like, I need to, you know, I'm kind of stuck at this story beat or the story point. But yeah, so I don't know. I don't have a lot of notes on the story there, but I thought, you know, it was very Dead Space esque.
Yeah, it's, if you're into this genre, right, like cosmic horror, and you happen to like, you know, roguelites or Metroidvanias, I think this is probably a really good, like, overall world that is built for you. which I do really like cosmic horror. It's like, you know, one of my favorite genres. So it was very, very cool. Now, visually, this is a pretty interesting game because I think it looks great, right? This is a good looking game. The character design is pretty interesting. My only gripe with it, right, is kind of like going back to the gameplay when like a lot is going on in terms of like fighting a bunch of enemies. Some things just kind of like blur together, but it is kind of neat to see like like these like digital dust. I keep calling it digital dust. I don't know what it is, like sparks, supposed to be like sparks.
Yeah,
it's particles. It's pretty cool. Yeah, particles. It's a really cool way to kind of, I would say, like stand out, I think, as a game, because, you know, this is very interesting. I mean, we've seen it before, but yeah, I think this is well executed, and you're kind of getting this kind of like futuristic, cyberpunky, cosmic horror vibe from everything. I just think sometimes everything gets a little busy, but you know, I do appreciate like the menus and looking at like different stats. It lays it out pretty well for you. So I enjoyed the experience looking at this game, just outside of, you know, some moments where I'm just like, there's so much happening. And I understand that like that's a popular thing right now with some genres, but I think I would have liked a little bit less of it. But I think that's a nitpick of anything, because besides that, you got like really cool character design, and like especially like when you get to boss levels or your boss encounters, they look awesome. So really neat. And then, you know, just having like different like guns and swords, nice little touch. They all kind of look and feel different, which is cool too.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you on a lot of things there, you know, regarding the art style. It gave me like a, you know, Dead Cells, Katana Zero kind of mixed vibe. I do agree, like some things, because sometimes there's going to be a decent amount going on, it's like hard to like read, especially like, I don't know, some of the text or like even some of the map can be a little bit difficult. I think that because there is so much busyness with the game, that I'd like a little bit more contrast with, like, you know, I don't know, put a black box behind a lot of the text. Like sometimes I you know, I don't know, it just kind of was hard to read at certain points. You know, I did play on the Steam Deck, so I'm playing on a smaller screen. So, you know, I know it's verified on the Steam Deck, but maybe that was part of the reason. So there's just like little kind of like almost like accessibility things here that I think could be improved a bit. But I think the overall art style is really enticing and appealing. And honestly, I think a lot of the reason that people might like take a second look at this game after they see it, because, you know, like you said, we've seen other games with this art style, but I still think it's like pretty captivating, you know, these kind of like neon vibes and cybery kind of feel to it. And, you know, mixing all that together, like, usually is a pretty, as long as the gameplay holds up, like it's usually a pretty successful kind of art style. You know, I think enemy design was fine as well, with the boss designs were, you know, somewhat interesting. I wouldn't say any of the enemies were really, you know, I'd be like, wow, that was a really cool looking enemy, or really cool moveset for that enemy. But, you know, they're all fine. They gave me more like Dead Spacey kind of vibes as well. But yeah, I think, you know, I also got a little bit of what's the game, like Carrion, like kind of,
yeah,
because it's very gory, this game, so I kind of got like those sort of vibes as well. Yeah, I think, you know, those particle effects are the real, like the neon kind of particle effects are like the real kind of winner here, I'd say, of like, it just makes you feel really cool when you're defeating enemies, and even when you have blood shooting out and all that sort of stuff. Like, I think that was well done. But yeah, it's kind of one of those things where I don't feel like the, you know, they're kind of rewriting, you know, or revolutionizing anything with this art style. It's something we've seen before, but I think it was well executed in this game.
Yeah, for sure. And honestly, a real positive here as well is the sound design of this game. It sounds great, and the soundtrack is awesome. I was listening to it today when I was working before we hopped on the pod, and I was like, yeah, this is like super cyberpunky, just, you know, gets your blood pumping. I mean, it is an action, you know, based game, like our action packed game. So like it really added to that. And I don't know. It's good. Can we play some of it?
I don't know if the listeners will hear it, but let me see if they will hear.
I'm not hearing anything, but yeah, you know what?
It is playing. I think.
What was that?
I think they should be able to hear it, but maybe you couldn't hear it.
Oh, I can't hear it. I'm like, yeah. Oh, this is sick. That's what I meant to say. This is.
Yeah, it's got that like retro wave kind of vibes to it. Yeah, I think it was well done as well, sound effect wise, as well. But yeah, it's a good vibe. It's a good vibe with this game with the soundtrack.
Yeah, it's not a whole lot to talk about there, but it just sounded great. Whoever did the music for it. Now moving on to performance, though, I played on Steam Deck. I was playing a lot in hotels, and I was playing in bed on Steam Deck, and it ran excellently, and it was nice to do that. So I didn't run into any issues.
Yeah, I also played on Steam Deck. I didn't run into any, you know, major issues. My last session that I played, and this could just be a Steam Deck issue, but it had no sound. For some reason, I had my volume like all the way up, and like it just had no sound. So I don't know if that was a bug with the game or the Steam Deck. I just relaunched the game and it fixed it, but that was the kind of only weird thing. But again, nothing game breaking. Ran really well on Steam Deck overall. So I had no issues with it. So pretty confident it would run well on PC as well if it's going to run well on Steam Deck.
Yeah, and it's time to get to our rating here. Our ratings are as follows. Certified Fresh Juice, these are our best games ever that we really love. A steal after that, on sale for games that we think perhaps could use some work, or you might want to wait till it's on sale. Manager Special, things that very specific genres or you know, wasn't really our jam, but we could see some merit somewhere if it was free to play. And then spoiled milk, games that we don't think anybody should play. I'm going to give this a solid steal. I think for what it is, if you are into Dead Cells, if you are into even Carrion and cosmic horror in general, I think this is going to be a really fun pickup, as long as you're into roguelites, right? Because this is going to be that. This is, I don't know if it's necessarily for your classic Metroidvania fans, but this is a good pickup. I think it's a lot of fun. There is depth there, and you know, it's pretty to look at as well and listen to. So it's a game that I didn't really know how I would feel about it. As soon as I felt that Dead Cells click, I felt, okay, I get this game. I play a lot of Dead Cells. This is more of that, but in space, which I think is cool. So a steal for Cat and not for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to give it a steal as well. I think the early game can feel a little bit more like a drag. And I would like to just see it, I don't know, maybe hook me a little bit earlier with it. I do agree that this isn't really something, if you're like a Metroidvania purist out there, you probably, would find this to be a little bit more shallow in the Metroidvania aspect of things. But I think it's a solid game. You know, it's, like $17.99, not a bad price for the game either. I'm sure it'll, you know, be part of Steam sales and things like that as well. But yeah, I really do think Cat and Nought is a steal. I don't know if this is the first game that this dev has created, but it's if it is, it's, I think it's a great introductory game, And, you know, made by a solo dev too. I probably wouldn't have guessed that this game was made by a solo dev with all the effort that's been put in. So, yeah, really, really enjoyed it. My really only caveat was that it just kind of felt like the beginning of the game, there wasn't a lot to like hook me until I started to really unlock a few more things. So maybe, you know, maybe just spice up the beginning of the game a little bit more to get me more hooked with maybe and some more interesting abilities in the pool, things like that. So, yeah, but I'm giving it a solid steal.
Yeah, very, very, very cool. Thank you for the keys. And, yeah, I'm excited to see what Void Maw has for us in the future because this, I mean, this was a really impressive solo outing because yeah. – it's very cool. Now, next week, we're going to have game talk. We're going to be talking about some game news, stuff like that, stuff that maybe we're playing on the side, some demos. I think you mentioned one before we started recording. And then we're going to review a roguemup called Absalom. So I've been pretty excited for that one. Hopefully we can play some of that together. And then, yeah. We do have listener questions. These come from the Juiceheads in the Juicehead Discord. First one coming from Coppola, who we did shout out, asking, what's your favorite theme park?
My favorite theme park? So, I mean, I haven't been to one in a while. I'm not like, I know we live, you know, we're in the Six Flags territory. I've never really been into Six Flags that much. Like, I've been to Six Flags. I'm just not into it. Yeah, okay. Sorry. I've definitely been there a good amount, like Fright Fest and all that sort of stuff. I don't know. I just never was like super into it. I mean, I used to go on roller coasters. Can't really do that anymore. Just because I for whatever reason get like really dizzy now when I do. But I don't know. I feel like I've had the most fun at like Universal. You know, I mean, there's Harry Potter World there, which I'm not even a big Harry Potter fan, but like I've only been there once, but like, I was like, I feel like I got just transported into Harry Potter. Like it was well done. And I don't know. I feel like I haven't been to like Epic Universe or anything like that, but, I don't want to say Disney. Cause like there's just something about Disney adults that like freaks me out. And I just don't, I don't know. I don't want to deal with them there. So that's why I'm like, all right, Universal is cool. You know, Dorney Park, I've had fun at Dorney Park, but I guess I would just choose Universal because I've had some good times there and would like to go back in like within the next 5 years. It'd be cool to go back to Universal, especially with like having a little kid, maybe when she's a few years old or something. But anyway, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. What about you?
Yeah. You know, grew up going to Six Flags Great Adventure in Jersey. And then, you know, when I lived down in Florida, went to Universal a lot. So I did like Universal Islands of Adventure. I do like Dorney Park, you know, it's fun, you know, went there a lot, you know, as a teenager. I don't know. It's not, I don't think I'm like a theme park guy.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, I'll go like once every 10 years and I feel like I've had my fill. Like
yeah. And like it's gonna change. You're gonna have kids at some point, you have a child, it's gonna be a different vibe. You're just like, all right, well, I want them to have fun,
yeah,
and I'm just here, whichever one gives my child the best experience is gonna be my favorite. So yeah, it's hard to say. I did have fun at Dorney and I did have fun at I like Fright Fest and stuff like that. It was always really cool. So maybe I'll give it to the hometown because I remember going to Great Adventure with my grandma. She would go all the time because she lived over there. So like, I'm just going to give Great Adventure the edge based on nostalgia and, you know, and also they got Batman rides, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
hell yeah.
Batman and Looney Tunes, I guess all Warner Brothers. So. Yeah. But, thanks for the question. Next one comes from Kay Moore. Your favorite video game characters fight it out. Who wins? Tommy's choice versus Maddie's choice.
Oh, man. I mean, my favorite video game character. I feel like most of my favorite video game characters are like just like people. Like, maybe. I mean, like, I've always loved like Gears of War. Augustus Cole has been my favorite character, but he's just like basically just a big muscle dude that's just funny. So he, you know, probably lose to anyone you pick. I don't know. I don't know
who my favorite is. It's like tough.
I don't know. I mean, like, I love like the Dark Souls games. Like, am I choosing just like the character from that, or like the Tarnished or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's tough. Well, who I is guess yours? They... And I'll choose someone better.
I get. You know what? Like,
Link.
I mean, Link is up there. I got to think about who I really loved to play in games that they were in, right? Because, like, I love Link, but I'm not picking Link for Super Smash, typically. But I tell you what, if who was in Super Smash I would pick all the time is Knuckles.
Okay.
The Echidna.
Yeah.
Right? There's something about Knuckles that I always just loved, especially in Sonic Adventure 2 Battle. Like his levels where you're going around digging up the emeralds and stuff like that with like knockoff Wu-Tang Clan tracks happening in the background. Those were like so much fun. I don't know. So Knuckles, I gotta give it to Knuckles.
That's a good one. Knuckles, yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna choose Master Chief. He's gonna kill Knuckles. I don't know. I mean, to be honest, I've always liked Luigi as well, like Luigi's Mansion games. And I like playing him in Smash sometimes. I don't know. I don't really have like a favorite video game character at the end of the day. I have favorites, but it's hard to choose like one, you know, that I would want to have fight
Tom
for
Nook.
Me. Tom Nook, yeah, villager, you know? You know, I'm looking at a list right now to see if anything pops in my head. I mean, Link's cool. I do really like Link as well. I feel like I just keep choosing, like, you know, Nintendo characters. Skull Kid I always thought was cool. But, yeah, I don't know. It's tough to choose one. So we'll just say Knuckles wins.
Yeah. I don't know. I have Knuckles. Knuckles is cool. I don't know how strong he actually would be, but I guess he's in the Sonic movies now, so maybe he's doing
true.
Better than we think.
Yeah, isn't but, he Idris Elba?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a bonus too.
Yeah. Thanks for the question, K-More. Yeah, you decide who wins.
Yeah.
Knuckles versus who?
Idris Elba. No, Luigi. We'll just say Luigi.
Okay, all right. I mean, you know, Luigi can be really strong, but we'll see. R. Carp comes in and asks, "What is your favorite Hot Pocket flavor?"
All right, so I've only ever had Hot Pockets like once in my life.
What?
Yeah, I've never bought Hot Pockets. I've only ever had the pepperoni ones.
Okay.
And those were fine. Those are good, you know? I don't know. I've always had, like, the Totino's pizza rolls, like, Hot Pocket adjacent items, but never, like, a Hot Pocket. Like, I've never really bought them and made them. So I'll just go with the pepperoni flavor, I guess.
Yeah, I like the pepperoni. Like, there's also the pepperoni and sausage one that's really good. Even the meatball parm one is really good. We were looking last night on the website just to see what there's, like, a Philly cheesesteak one.
You're on the Hot Pockets website last night looking at
the
flavors.
Yeah, I was just looking. I wanted to prepare for this question. I saw an abomination on this website. Let me show you. I don't know if you could
see this ranch lovers pepperoni. I mean, that sounds good with Hidden Valley Ranch in it. I mean, there's no better dressing you could have.
Oh, God, that's disgusting. That is so gross. It's foul. Honestly, they should. I don't even want to buy Hot Pockets anymore after seeing that. I'm just like, golly. But
now, do they have a buffalo chicken with blue cheese Hot Pocket?
They have a Ranch Lovers buffalo chicken, which, listen, I think that's still an abomination, but at least that one's understandable. Why are we putting ranch with pepperoni?
Disgusting. Hey, don't knock it till you try it, you know?
I am knocking it. I am knocking it and not trying it. Thank you very much. But
you know, the thing that bothers me with that is, like, that ranch is going to be, like, hot.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not like it was drizzled on a pizza or, like, you're dipping it. It's like a hot, like a boiling ranch that I just, boiling, that sounds creamy, disgusting.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, I don't know. Listen, my hatred of ranch is well known on the internet, but I understand that some people like it, right? But, you know, my main concern is if I'm given ranch with buffalo wings, it's like the wrong thing. I want blue cheese, right? And I hate when there's some places out there that don't even offer blue cheese with your wings. And I'm like, well, I'm just not going to get your wings. Like, this is, you know?
So, like, if you're like, if you are like, I'll take an order of 6 wings, and can I have blue cheese on the side? And they go, oh, we don't have blue cheese. You'd be like, never mind.
Yeah, I would be like, oh, I'm going to get something else. Because, I want wings, but I want to dip it in a nice, good blue cheese, right? Yeah, that's like, it's the golden combo. Now, I understand some people like it, whatever. They're wrong, but I think we've gone too far with the ranch stuff. I go on the internet, I watch TikToks, and I'm watching people with a cup of ranch just dip a whole pizza in and eat it. We got to stop. This is disgusting. This is not even just disgusting for me who doesn't like ranch. It's just a disgusting act. We've gone too far.
We got to fix
it. Ranch lovers, pepperoni, Hot Pockets. I mean, it's the end times. Oh, golly.
Next, I mean, they just need to do if they're doing a ranch lovers one, let me just have a Hot Pocket just with ranch in it, right?
Oh, no. No.
No cheese. Oh. Just give me ranch with dough.
Yeah. Oh, God. I hate ranch.
It's when I was like younger, ranch was my favorite salad dressing, but it was just because it like masked like the taste of salad, basically. And then as I got older, I was like, this is just too much. Like, I don't hate ranch, but I'm like, I get other salad dressings now.
I would get, like, when I was a kid, like, if ranch was, like, an option, like, one of the only options for a salad, I would put some on there. It's the dipping. It's not a dipping sauce to me. It's like, you know, listen, this is going to sound like sacrilege to people who know me, but a homemade ranch can be actually fine, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like that Hidden Valley, gross, disgusting. Yeah. It's got this weird, like, tang to it that I just... It's almost like the how sour cream smells to me.
Oh,
taste.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sour cream, I like the taste.
Yeah. And there's a place near me that makes like homemade garlic ranch, like, which is pretty good. But yeah, with the sour cream stuff, I know we're going on a tangent, but like I can tell if I will like a sour cream by how it smells. Like sometimes when we order from the Mexican place near us, they'll give you like 2 different cups of sour cream. And sometimes, like, if I taste one of the sour creams and it almost tastes like Greek yogurt-y, I'm like, ugh. But then the other one will smell better. And I'm like, it doesn't really have a scent to it. And I'm like, that's a better sour cream. I don't know. I'm not a Greek yogurt guy. It smells like sewage to me. And I just can't do it. But anyway. I can't do it.
I hate yogurt too, but I love tzatziki sauce.
Oh yeah,
like gyros.
Yeah,
but like whatever they're doing to that, they're fixing the yogurt. So anyway, that's neither here nor there.
It's the dill.
Yeah, it's a big dill. But we're gonna go. You know what else is a big dill? Is going down to the rec room where we're gonna recommend something that perhaps isn't a video game, or indie game. And this week, I am recommending a new album from the band Geese. I think I recommended 3D Country a couple weeks ago. Maybe even before you had the baby, I forget. But their new album just came out, Getting Killed. It's awesome. It is so weird and funky and like crazy, like percussion going on in this album with Cameron Winters, the the lead singer kind of just doing his thing with like crazy instrumentation in the background. Some really great tracks on it. I recommend just listening to it front to back. You're going to go right into it with the first track, which is Trinidad, where that is like this weird blues jam with crazy, insane stuff going on, lyrics, etc. It's for people who want to broaden their rock and roll horizons, I would say. You get some like some moments where you're like, oh, this kind of reminds me a little bit of like some classic rock here, but then it's like, no, this is like something totally different and original, and I think it's doing really well. And it's, we might like, you know, people who like are into like rock and the evolution of it might look back at this album and say this was a real turning point in the genre, because it's not calculated or like commercial at all, but people love it. Like, you know, especially Gen Z's really taken to it, which is interesting. They're a weird generation that's hard to kind of pin down sometimes, but people are really falling in love with this album, and I am one of them. I've listened to it at least front to back 10 times since it came out. So
Yeah,
it's a good one.
Nice. Yeah, I'll have to check out some Geese, you know, Geese it up. When did you say it came out recently?
A couple weeks ago.
Nice. All right. Cool. It's interesting that an album from Geese would be called Getting Killed. Are they anti-Geese?
They might be.
They come on and tell PETA. that's cool. PETA. Nice. And as far as my rec room, I alluded to this earlier. It's a game called Icarus. I talked about it a bit last week, I think, but I don't think I wrecked it. This is a game that came out in 2021 that is a PvE survival game. You can play with up to 8 players. And it's really gone through a ton of different changes. Me and my buddy Pat, we've been playing a lot of it. We probably put in like 40 hours over the last week. He's definitely put in more than me. It's got a lot of content in like the first map that you play. But this game, it started out like as just mission-based like events. So you just go in, do a mission, and then like leave. And now, and you know, over the years, they've added in like an open world, like true survival experience, where it's just like an open world that you can explore. And I did not realize this, but they've done 200 weeks in a row of patches to the game. And I assume they're planning to do more as well. So it's been heavily supported by the developers. They've listened to a ton of feedback and really molded the game into something that I think is really special in like the survival genre. It was only $7 during the Steam sale. Unfortunately, it's over. Oh. So I think it's $35 now, but that was the historical low. So I'm sure it'll hit that again. So I was trying to recommend the game to like everyone I could. We have a dedicated server set up for it too. I might even do a community server for it if I get some people in the community that want to play the game. But Icarus, man, it's been, for if you're a survival game fan, especially one that doesn't want to deal with like PvP, Icarus has been a ton of fun. They have a few DLCs with additional maps and additional like stories and campaigns you can even go through. I haven't even touched any of that. So we're like, you know, I'm like 40 hours in and I've, you know, I'm still just on the base map. We've barely explored really maybe 10% of the map we've explored so far. So it's been really cool. It's kind of got this neat concept of like an extraction game almost, but like in an open world format where like, you'll find, you know, like certain resources that you can call like a drop pod down and then you shoot it back up into space. And then when you leave the game, like when you go back to the main menu, there's like a workshop where like the stuff that you extracted in your survival game, you can use to unlock like permanent items. So it's almost like, I don't know, it's like a weird blend of like a open world survival game and like an extraction game. And it's been awesome. I've been loving it. I have a pet ostrich that I ride around really fast. His name is Linguini. He's awesome. And so, yeah, it's just, there's been a lot of love put into this game. There's still things I want them to change about it. And maybe they will with all these patches. But honestly, when I saw that they've done like 200 straight weeks of updates. It just made me so excited for like the future of this game. I'm even working on like some videos for it as well. But Icarus, man, I played it a few years ago when it came out. Was a totally different game. Put in like maybe 12 hours into the game, and now it's like I can't stop playing it. Even my buddy Pat, like at first he was like, "You recommended this game." He wasn't like super into it. And I was talking to him last night, and he's like, "Dude, I can't stop thinking about this game." He's like, "I just want to keep playing it." So it's been a lot of fun. If any of the juice heads out there do want to play it, like I said, I do have a dedicated server set up. Let me know, and I can send you the details if you do want to join. But Icarus, I'm wrecking it. You know, unfortunately, it's not on sale anymore. But if it goes on sale again and you like survival games, I highly recommend picking it up because it's just a ton of fun.
Yeah, it looks pretty wild, man. I'm just looking at these screenshots. Even some of them, I'm like, is this Turok?
Right, yeah. It's kind of got that, like, vibe to it. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. like, there's so much to unlock and so much to do. And it's also, at least from what we played, like, it's like, pretty chill, you know? Like, I don't feel like, I don't know, I'm in this, like, really harsh environment and, like, I got to deal with a lot of nonsense. Like, it almost gives me kind of like RuneScape vibes, which is like a leveling system where like
mm-hmm.
if I want to just go chop trees for a little bit, I'm going to just go chop trees, you know? So, yeah, it's been a good time.
Sweet, sweet. Yeah. All right. Yeah, maybe it's something I could get into. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. Anyway, that's been another awesome episode of Fresh Juice. You can find me on all platforms at Fresh Buds Pod. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds where I talk about the game Flesh and Blood trading card game. And we have guests on every week. Very good stuff. This week, I think, is BIOS Update, who has a great YouTube channel. And I'm excited to chat with them. You can find us on all socials at Fresh Juice Pod. Where can people find you, Matthew?
Find me at Matty Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the socials. Should hopefully have some YouTube videos up soon about some cool games that are coming and already out. So, yeah. But anyway, another good ep in the books, Tommy.
You got that right. You got that right. And I think with that, we're going to say... See ya!